Next presenter this afternoon is Trevor Sears from Canada Pork. Trevor was appointed President and CEO of Canada Pork in October of 2019. In this role, he is tasked with leading the dynamic Canada Pork team to achieve its mission of improving the access, awareness, and growth of the Canadian pork industry. Prior to Canada Pork, Trevor worked for over 25 years in the pork industry with Maple Leaf Foods, where he developed extensive experience in strategic management and global business development. Starting in the finance division of Maple Leaf Foods International, he eventually moved into the pork trading group. During his time in the trading department, he managed accounts including frozen and chilled pork sales to markets including Japan, Hong Kong, Korea, China, Singapore, and Taiwan. Trevor held various progressive roles at Maple Leaf Foods until his departure as Director of Sales and Marketing in the Global Business Department. Trevor resides in Ottawa and enjoys spending time with his family at their cottage in Northern Ontario. Please join me in welcoming Trevor.
Well, hello, and thank you very much for having me here today. It's certainly great to be back in person, seeing people face-to-face instead of through a Zoom call. So you're stuck with me for about 20 minutes here, and I will be taking you through a few things. One is a little trip down memory lane about the history of pork in Canada. I'm going to go over some stats, and then we'll talk a little bit about what Canada Pork does for the industry. So this little history, brief history I did, I gave in Banff, so if you saw that, I'm sorry, you're going to see it again. But I think it's really important, actually. You know, our industry faces a lot of issues. We've talked a lot about it today, you know, whether it's the labor issues, threats of disease, and so forth. But I think it's good to look back, too, and see where we came from, because sometimes that can give us some insights on the future as well. So here we go. So the first pigs arrived in Canada around 1600. I don't know the exact date, but I do know that they were brought by the French, and they were brought to Nova Scotia. So that's, I mean, eating meat in Canada before that was pretty much wild game. So that's the first pigs to Canada. And I guess the first, you could say, inspection system in Canada was started in 1706, where New France required butchers to advise the colonial official prior to animal slaughter. So hard to believe that they had those kinds of regulations in place back then, but there you go. And the hog population reached about 5,000 in 1800. The city of York, which is now Toronto, became the center of the meat trade in Canada, and the St. Lawrence Market opened in 1803, and it's still there today. And, you know, Toronto eventually became known as Hogtown, I think, shortly after that. Lower Canada, so this would be another round of the regulations. Lower Canada regulates packing and weight and quality of cuts and the quality of the barrels. So this is back in the time when pork was preserved with pickling or salting or so forth. So that was the regulations in 1800. At the same time in the 1800s, the first half of the 1800s, a lot of technical innovations, which became really important for our industry, started to make their way into the industry. The railways, the steam engines, and compressors were certainly very important for ice making and a new way to preserve meat. In the mid 1800s, the first plants opened, processing plants, in the Toronto area, Fearman's and Williams Davies Group. And the pig population reached 28,000, and again, mostly eastern Canada, because the rails weren't quite running out to the west yet. And during this time, producers were working on improving what they were calling bacon hogs. I think in the States back then, there was more lard hogs that they were raising. But Canada was moving towards more of a bacon hog. And surprisingly, at least to me, the first export of pork from Canada was in 1860, and it was a trial shipment of bacon sides, and it was William Davies who shipped it to his brother in the UK. So that was the start of our exporting business. And also during the 1860s, the U.S. Civil War started, and Canada, of course, the folks in the States that were fighting, the men, and they were, you know, out of the fields and carrying guns, and they weren't able to work the farms as much, so they need a lot more protein down there. So Canada stepped up with shipping pigs, live pigs, and salt pork to the States at that time. And amazingly, again to me, 1870, pork exports to the UK reached 10 million pounds from Canada. And the hog population reached 1.36 million. So if you just go back, was it 20 years prior to this, the hog population was 28,000. So there was a real increase in explosion in hogs around that time. The 1880s, the railways connected Western Canada. And the population and livestock expansion started to move across Canada. And pork exports in 1900 reached 105 million pounds. Again, pretty remarkable to see those kinds of numbers. So, moving to the next one here, 1907, the rapid export growth and concerns about pork wholesomeness brought about the first real federal inspection system by which is now the CFIA, and this symbol became stamped on all the cartons that ship from Canada. Many in the crowd will recognize that symbol. And then World War One created a huge growth export opportunity, obviously to feed the troops. So 241 million pounds of pork to the UK in 1 year during World War One. So again, exports take off. And around that same time, the first trade organization started. It was the, if I can remember, the Industrial Something Council of Canadian Meat Packers, but that has evolved, and it's the Canadian Meat Council that we know today. And the hog population surpasses 4 million in 1925. And then again, World War II, another big spurt of growth for exports, peaking at 1.1 billion pounds in 1943. There was supply agreements that they were signing with the UK at that time. So again, this industry really stepped up to feed the troops during the wars. So it's interesting to see the role that the industry played at that time. And then of course, this demand for shipping overseas, and at that time during the Second World War, Canada was shipping actually over 80% of its pork to the UK, and there was a slogan they came up with in Canada called something like "Don't eat pork," because they want to ship it all overseas to feed the troops. But this demand for the war effort led to rationing at home, as I just mentioned, and an embargo on shipments to the U.S. 1948, of course, the war is over now, and all that pork we were exporting, we have to find a new home, so the U.S. embargo is lifted, and the U.S. at that time quickly became our largest pork export market, and it still is today. 1952, some in the room might remember. Rick, do you remember 1950? foot and mouth disease breaks in Saskatchewan, and you know, the borders close and so forth, but it was quickly brought under control, so that was certainly a good news story back then. The 1960s, the formation in 66 of the Canadian Swine Council, which is now the Canadian Pork Council. And another important market opened for us in 1968, and that was Japan. And Japan is always our number 2-3 market and a very high-value market, and a lot of Manitoba pork goes to Japan. So that was a big market for us. 1970, hog population surpasses 7 million. The organization I'm with now, Canada Pork, was Canada Pork International, CPI at that time, was formed in 1991. And Canadian pork exports, and now we're into the metric system, so 1.49 billion kilograms, equivalent to 3.25 billion pounds. So that made us, at least in 2020, the third largest exporter in the world, which is quite remarkable. Our pork is very popular around the world, and the hog population reaches 14 million. So that's the little trip down memory lane. And I guess a good story isn't that good without pictures. So I have some pictures here. So this is the St. Lawrence Market in the early 1800s in Toronto. William Harris Abattoir in 1920. This is transporting carcasses in 1920, a little different than how it's done today. And there's an early plant pickling room. That's probably older than all these other pictures, but it looks like it's got probably a brick floor and wooden tables. And then we go to World War I here. So this is an ad that the Britain would have taken out in Canada, basically saying, you know, thanks for shipping us your pork, but we need 10 times more. So they were in dire need. Here is 1930s. They were shipping pork, exporting pork in ice-cooled rail cars. So here they are loading some Wiltshire bacon to go to Britain. There's hauling live hogs in 1933. Again, a little different from what we see today. An early cutting room floor. And this is the Second World War, and this would have been in Quebec, obviously. But basically it says, one lonely pig stays at home, and 4 out of 5 go overseas. So you can see the four pigs on the boat there going, and the guy in the front there is operating the machine gun. And it looks like the guy on the dock smoking a cigar or something. But, yeah, there we go. So we'll move right into some stats here. So you know this. This is not a surprise for you, about 1 in 4 hogs raised here in Manitoba and Canada. Pork, of course, the largest protein in Canada, almost equal to the other two, beef and poultry combined there, but steady growth over the years. Here's a look at our export volumes from 2008 to 2021, and you can see, you know, a relatively slow, steady growth to 2019, and then 2020 it just really took off. And I think that we can attribute that to a couple things. One is the pandemic, restaurants closing down. I think, you know, labor shortages in plants reduced the ability to add value to a lot of pork, so more would have been shipped to places like Mexico and China. I mean, China was just buying everything they could. So, big increase in exports, and we actually almost held on to that increase last year, which was quite surprising because China, we shipped less than half in 2021 that we did in 2020. But other markets like Mexico, Asian markets, South American markets picked up. Okay, so I took a look at four kind of decades of our top 10 markets here. And again, in 91, you can see that that the U.S. was about 80% of our exports. And this is when CPI was formed with the idea of diversifying exports from Canada. And the other goal was to grow the industry. But some interesting markets on there, like France and you know, Panama, et cetera. 2001, so 10 years later, the U.S. has now dropped to just over 50%, and Japan, you can see there, is really picking up to 20%, and Russia. Russia is entered the scene here. And then again, 10 years after this, U.S. drops again to about 27%, and Russia's up to 12%, so it became quite a market for us. And it was 2014, actually, when Russia invaded Crimea and Canada put a bunch of, restrictions on Russia at that time, and they just shut down all imports of food from any country that put restrictions on them. I guess the other notable one here would be China entering the scene. And just last year here, so the U.S. is around that 28%. China's 20%. Japan's usually in that 20% range, and Mexico is up there. So, you know, when you look at 91 and about 80% of our pork was going to one market, now 80% is going to four markets. And I think it's worked out that we have been able to diversify and also... the market certainly has grown.
Before you leave this slide, sorry to interrupt.
Sure.
In that 2021, how much of that has been driven by ASF in Asia? So I'm looking at China and the Philippines.
Oh, a great deal of it. If 2020 was up there, you'd see that China actually was over 50% of our exports, and that was all ASF driven. So, yeah, ASF is certainly... I mean, China, Philippines, Vietnam, those would be, but all, you know, really all of them, but yeah, China was, and you know, it's endemic in China. It's not going anywhere. Their hog market now is very low. But the thought there is that they're going through another big round of ASF, so the producers are shipping the hogs to the market before they die, and you know, the low prices in China will fix the low prices in China, and we'll see a resurgence probably in the second half of this year. So this is the numbers are a little different because I took 5-year averages here, but again, you can see the top export markets for Canada. But I think something that's very important for us to remember is that our number one market is Canada, and we really need to work on that market and work on consumption in Canada, certainly for reasons such as ASF and other reasons. It's a market that we're focused on as well. And just a little bit here on for provincial numbers, you can see Manitoba was the second largest exporter in Canada. The 26% of Canadian pork export volume, but over 30% in export value. So what's being shipped out of Manitoba is higher value than in general in Canada, and I, you know, Cam's talked about it, and you know, all the exports out of Manitoba, and you can see Japan is, as it was mentioned before, is number one, and that's high value pork. So Manitoba's done a great job, serving world markets. And now I'll just talk a little bit about Canada Pork. Again, established in 91. We're the domestic export market development promotion organization for the industry. We have our head office in Ottawa, and then an office in Tokyo, and an office in Shanghai. So some of the things that we do for industry is international trade shows. Essentially, bringing our members, processors, traders to trade shows around the world and introduce, giving them a facilitating, you know, introductions with customers and so forth around the world to ensure we have lots of homes for our pork. Global market developments, seminars, B2B sessions. Of course, a lot of this in the last couple of years went virtual. Hopefully this year we've got plans to get back out there in person. But that's another thing that we do. And global market development, education and training. Our members, for example, on the picture on the right there, if one of our retailer partners or food service partner want to see what you do with the hog, we'll do we call them DEP sessions. So basically, it's just education for industry players. During the breakout of COVID, some of our export markets. And specifically Japan, was very concerned with plant closures and slowdowns in Canada. Are they still going to get their pork? So we teamed up with Canada Pork, and we did these safeguarding the Canadian meat supply in various markets around the world. We also produce a number of tools for industry, video shoots, photo shoots. And we make those available to members and partners. We produce a lot of printed materials and technical industry tools as well. So national pork marketing. So as I mentioned, we were CPI, Canada Pork International, before, and then in 2014, there was a pilot launched called the National Pork Marketing Program. And that was successful, and it became a full-time program in 2019. And I'd like to recognize Scott Peters in the room here is the chair of our committee, and Susan Reese has been on the committee for many years, and maybe some others in the room here. But it's really so this is the portion of our business where we're focusing on selling Canadian pork to Canadians. And it's a joint venture of provincial pork associations and participating processors, and we work collaboratively with industry. We have a market development team, but we don't talk about our organization. It's all talking about the pork itself. It brought about the Verified Canadian Pork Program (VCP), which many of you I'm sure have heard of. Which is really it's a promise about food safety and traceability and healthy, and good animal care. All those promises we want to make to consumers and to customers. The part of the foundation of that, of course, is the CPE, which Cam talked about today. It's an important part of when we talk about Canadian pork. And it's part of the backbone of that story that we tell to customers and consumers, and so that on the hog side, and then on the processing side, we have the world class plants, a couple world class ones here in Manitoba, and all the good work they do. So, I've traveled the world for longer than I'd like to admit, but I can tell you that, Canadian pork is very well received around the world. The picture of Canada in most countries is very positive, wide open spaces and clean and healthy. So we have a good story to tell, and we have certainly for export countries, I'd say we have the best pork in the world, in my opinion. But it's a great story. So just some examples of where you might see VCP at some retailers in Canada. And here's some food service examples. We're, you know, teamed up with Cisco and GFS, and you might see it on a menu. And of course, the work we do with the provincial partners and tools that we provide. It's a great partnership, I think, for industry. And we do trade advertising support and all the main, trade magazines, food magazines across the country to tell our story. And VCP, of course, has gone global. So there's some pictures in Japan here on the left, and it's in Costco, Japan, and we print 1 million, I think just over 1 million VCP trade pack stickers a month in Japan. So it's a great story, and it's getting out there. So that's it for me. And if you want to see some of the stuff we're up to, you can follow us on LinkedIn. But thank you again very much. I hope I didn't go over time. And if there are any questions, I'd be happy to take them, and I'll be around for the rest of the evening. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Trevor.